to Jesus, my Lord. I yield to his will. I lay down my sword to pick up his banner and march bold and strong. There is no doubt whose side I am on.
I am firmly committed to the cause of Christ, determined to serve him for the rest of my life, resolved to give all, no matter the price.
I've come through the valley, there's no turning round. I will press toward the Lord's higher ground. The way set before me, my only concern. For I have passed the point.
Amen. I hope that you feel the same way. You are firmly committed to the cause of Christ. I'm sure you are, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. The committed crowds here on a Sunday evening when the weather's 95 degrees outside and you can hardly catch your breath. Amen. But it is good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Brother Brian, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer here tonight? Would you remain standing? Church, would you stand and join them tonight? Turn over to page number 120 if you need it, and let's sing about the victory we have in Jesus. Page 120. All right, everyone sing now.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Of me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath. On the last now, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it is good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. Thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship tonight. And we mean that. We're very thankful for you being here tonight and realizing you could have gone anywhere. We thank you for coming to Calvary. Also, please be much in prayer for all the prayer requests that we had this morning. We have a very lengthy list of those who just stand in need of prayer. It's so good to see Barbara Ann here with us this morning. And we just praise the Lord for being with her, Miss Jenny, able to be with us this morning. We thank the Lord for that. We have many that are unable to be here, and we just ask the Lord's hand be upon them. And we're going to go to him again here in a few moments in a word of prayer. Please don't forget about Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting. And also don't forget about next Sunday evening, the children's choir / Little Notes are going to have they're going to be singing for us next Sunday night. And Miss Sharon shared that with you this morning. So they'll have a practice. Do you know exactly what time next week? 5:15 next Sunday. If that changes, we'll let you know that next Sunday morning. But planning on a practice at 5:15 next Sunday evening. And they'll be singing for the evening service. And we look forward to that. So you'll be much in prayer for them. It'll be a great, great time. And we look forward to that. But pray for Pastor this evening. Look forward to hearing from him, from God's word here in a few moments. So please lift him up in prayer. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us in the service tonight and ask God's blessing on the offering. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight?
Thank you. that. I'm part of the choir. And it's good to be here this evening. Let me mention this before we turn to our verses tonight. Last Sunday morning, and also tonight, on the second row up front here, we have Peter and Anita Denisi, missionaries to the Philippines. And we spoke for just a few moments last Sunday morning, and we're going to give him a few minutes toward the end of the, at the end of the message tonight, and let him, Brother Peter, come and speak for a few moments. So looking forward to that, and good to have y'all with us tonight again. Let's take our Bibles for a few moments and turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 26, book of Isaiah, chapter number 26, I'm going to read one verse tonight. We read several verses this morning, and sometimes it calls for that, but tonight we're going to focus on one verse, and that is verse number 3. Isaiah 26, verse number 3, just after we pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we're so very glad that we can stand tonight and sing your truth. And Lord, tonight, we're conscious, Lord, of our need of you. And Lord, what an opportunity it is to be able to stand and preach your truth. Pray tonight, Lord, that the words of my mouth, dear Lord, would be words straight from you. Lord, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would communicate it to the hearts of your people, and that you might encourage your church. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 26. Notice, if you would, verse number 3. Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." One verse tonight, and that is this verse, verse number 3. I want to share a simple lesson with you, a simple message entitled, "How to Have a Peaceful Mind." How to have a peaceful mind. It's always good to have a peaceful mind, but the day and time we're living in, and all of the diversity of issues and the news and everything that's going on in our world today, it's easy for our peace to be interrupted. Not only in a worldview to have interrupted peace, but, you know, on your daily routine, on the job and at school and whatever endeavors you're going after, sometimes it's difficult to maintain a peaceful mind. Now, we know that there's a difference between practical peace and positional peace. Those of us that have been saved, we have positional peace with God through Jesus. Our standing with Him is altogether different. We are new creatures in Christ, and we're standing in grace. We're standing in a place of blessing. We have the ability to minister. We have gifts. God has a purpose for our life. That's positional peace, and that's found through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's practical peace. And the practical peace is what I'm talking about tonight. It's that day-to-day grind, the leaving and the coming home again of your home, and the ups and downs, the ins and outs. Again, how easy it is for our practical peace to be interrupted. And tonight, for a few moments, again, I just want to look at verse number 3 and just try to bring out some very simple things. Some simple things that we can apply to our life that I know the Lord would use to be a blessing to us. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 3, If we're going to have a peaceful mind, practical peace, then we need to, number one, remember God's promise. Or remember God's promises. He says in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We have a promise tonight that God will maintain our practical peace. And for the person who has interrupted peace tonight, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to know that the promises of God are at our disposal. Not only here in verse number 3, but in Philippians. You don't have to turn there. You can if you like, but I'm just going to give it to you. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And listen to this. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Listen, church, that's the blessing tonight. To know that the times we allow our peace to be interrupted is something that doesn't have to be. And that's just two promises out of the entire Word of God tonight. But I want you to notice a couple words here when it comes to remembering God's promise. The word "keep," he says, "Thou wilt keep him." That word "keep" means to preserve. It means to maintain. It means to guard. And it's actually through the idea of guards being at a gate and protecting a city or a specific location. And likewise, when we keep our mind, that is, stayed upon him, when we exercise faith in him, and we really give the situation over to him, which we'll get into in just a few moments, there's a way that God overcomes us. I just read to you in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 about the peace that passeth all understanding. We can't fully understand that, can we? How that you can be bearing a burden, going through a situation, your peace is interrupted, but yet you get to the place where you're ready to fully transfer that burden because you know you can't go on any longer. It's weighed you down. It has almost stopped you. You're not happy. Your joy is being messed with in the sense of you're not sharing Jesus. You're not reading your Bible like you used to. We know that's not God's will. And so what do? We go as far as we can go, and then we cast our cares on him. And then at that particular time, we experience the practical peace of God. And he says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Again, the word "keep" means to preserve. And when we exercise faith in the Lord and we give him our burdens and our cares, he has a way of maintaining that peace. Kind of like those guards at the gate. They see somebody coming, they're going to stick up the rifles at them. You know, what are you doing here? And the same way, as a good illustration, the same way in our lives and in our minds tonight, when the enemy tries to come and he tries to bring up our past, or there's a cloud of doubt and a cloud of worry in our life, of fear even. God has a way of dealing with those things and maintaining our peace if we're trusting in him. Notice another word, the word "peace." He says, "Thou wilt keep him," or maintain him, preserve him, in perfect peace. The word "peace" means rest. It means happy. It means a state of tranquility. Now, who wouldn't like that tonight? I mean, you may already be possessing this practical peace where you've given your life, number one, to the Lord for salvation. But then, number two, your problems and struggles in life, you've already given them to him today, a daily thing. And you're here tonight and you're rejoicing and listen, you're trying to help others and want to be used of God. That's a blessing. That's a blessing, and God will maintain that peace as we give him the situation. But there is a rest about yourself. there is a state of contentment and tranquility. That's the peace of God. And so he says to, if you want to have a peaceful mind, then you're going to have to remember God's promise. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. We see tonight that we're to remember God's promise if we want to have a peaceful mind. Or again, let me say, God's promises. We have so many promises. I want to mention something else. Not only we're to remember God's promises, but number two, if we want to have a peaceful mind, we need to relocate our thoughts. Relocate our thoughts. Notice another couple words. He says in verse 3 again, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so he's using the word mind here. The mind is the battlefield. The mind is the imagination process. The mind is where passions flow. And so he says that God will keep us in perfect peace. He will maintain our peace. He will preserve our peace. Whose mind, whose passions, whose affection, I should say, is stayed upon the Lord. Again, the word mind means imagination or affections. Where's our affections at tonight? What are we passionate about tonight on a daily basis? Let me ask it this way. What are we invested in tonight? What are we caught up in Jesus tonight? If we are, then we're probably at a place of peace, or at least we know how to get that peace. But if we're caught up in other things and in the world system and all of the entanglements and entrapments that the world has, then there's not going to be that peace there, that practical peace. Because your mind, and my mind at times, is not stayed upon the Lord. My affections have been separated. They're not all upon Jesus. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, in verse number 2, Paul says this. He says, speaking of the mind, he says, set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And so Paul himself is telling us that there has to be a relocation of our thoughts. You know, we cannot have a thought process, think like the world, go after the world, never take God in, never read his word, never pray, all about the world and the world system, and expect to have practical peace. It just can't happen. You cannot serve two masters, the Bible says. You either hate the one or cling to the other. And so we see that we need to relocate our thoughts. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Notice the word stayed here. The word stayed simply means to lean upon, or it means to prop up against. And again, he's talking about this peaceful mind. He's talking about a person whose affections possibly have been divided from the Lord and are on other things. Think about how easy it is when it's time to come to church for our minds at one moment to be totally upon the Lord, but then on another moment, our minds can be all over the place, even in the house of God. So many times it's that way. And so he's addressing those whose affections are spread and been divided. And he says that he can keep us in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is leaning upon Jesus, whose mind is propped up on Jesus. Your affections, your desires must be upon Jesus to have this practical peace. Now, again, the word stayed. Now, I was thinking today that it's a job to stay our minds on the Lord, isn't it? Because we're human, We live. I mean, we all have our routines, and we rub elbows with the world every day, speaking about working and, you know, out in public. Sometimes my mind's not on the Lord. And so what does he mean, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. He's not talking about every little second. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about Jesus for the past 10 seconds. I better think about him. You know, nothing, no kind of, you know, tactic like that. But what he's saying is you understand where your peace comes from. You understand where to take your burdens at that you're bearing. And you understand also that affection has to be totally upon the Lord and not divided in order to experience this peace. And so he says, thou will keep him. The Lord will preserve him in perfect peace, in perfect rest and tranquility, whose mind, whose affection is stayed or leaned upon the Lord. And so we see that we need to relocate our thoughts. Where's our thoughts at tonight? Let me ask this question. Where have our thoughts been this past week? Let me ask another question. How is our thought life? That's something to think about, isn't it? How has my thought life been? Because the longer I serve the Lord, the more closer I try to draw nigh to Him, the more I understand and realize that our thought process does dictate our walk with God. Whatever we take in, it will come out. And it will dictate. If we take in the Lord and we acknowledge Him every day, we read His Word and we go to Him in prayer, we're taking Him in. But if we don't do that and we leave our Bibles by the door and we get it on the way to church on Sunday and on Wednesday, we're going to have a struggle there with this practical peace because our minds have not been stayed upon the Lord or leaned upon the Lord with our affections. So he says we need to relocate our thoughts. Many times we come to the place in life where our affection has been divided from the Lord. And our affections have been on other things. And because of that, there is a lack of daily peace. You know, you can tell when somebody is absent of that practical peace. And we're not judging nobody, and the only person I'm judging is myself. Paul says that when it comes to the Lord's table, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. And so you can tell on someone's countenance that they may be struggling with something, that they may be absent of that practical peace. And like I said this morning, many times it's because of the weight of the cross they're bearing, the situation they're going through. But nonetheless, we can be in a place of peace. Are we at peace with ourselves tonight? We need to relocate our thoughts. We need to remember God's promises. And then number three, how to have a peaceful mind, rely on the Lord. Remember God's promises, relocate our thoughts, and rely on the Lord. Look what he says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Why? How? He says, because, this is the reason why, he trusteth in thee. You see, the person who is practicing this practical peace, practicing practical peace, is the person who has total confidence in Jesus. It's not an issue with him as it is the individual. And trying to spread the affections and separate the affections they may have. And I'll give you, I don't know, Lord, I'll give you 80% of my affection, but 20% is for me. It don't work that way. You give the Lord 80% and you keep 20%, well, you're going to get that kind of return in your Christian life. And so he says that the person who is in a place of peace is the person who trusteth in the Lord. And the word trusteth here means to be confident in. To have confidence in. To be confident in the Lord. And we see that we need to rely on the Lord. Psalm 55, verse number 22, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How about that? He simply and plainly tells us, I say simply, but yet it's so hard to do, isn't it? I mean, it's so simple. but so hard to do. He says, cast thy burden on the Lord. Just throw that thing. Let it go. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And if we do that, something will happen. He will sustain us. Have you ever felt like you're falling apart? Have you ever felt like that things will never shake out or line up? Well, cast that burden. Cast that care upon the Lord. He will sustain you in that very moment. That very moment where you feel like you're going to fall apart, unravel, not going to make it, go ahead tonight and just cast that burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Turn, if you would, for just a few more moments to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter number 5. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, talking about how to have a peaceful mind and transfer the burden you're bearing to the one who can carry it. Verse number 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, that he may lift you up in due time. In other words, he's going to lift us up in due time. Our job is to just humble ourselves. Trust him, abase ourselves, surrender to him, put our life in his hand, or under his hand, the Bible says here, or under the mighty hand of God. Turn the situation over to him, cast that care on him, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then verse number 7, such a little verse. But there's one word I want to call your attention to in this verse. You probably already know it. And this one word covers every single care there is. He says in verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you're here tonight and you are burdened down with care, tell it to Jesus. If you're here tonight and you have the weight of the world upon your shoulders and there's some kind of care in your life that you have anxiety about, well, cast that care upon Jesus. Why? Because he cares what you care about. At least he cares about how things affect you in your life. He wants things to affect you in a very positive way and be wholesome and good to you. He says, casting all. I remember the first time that God illuminated this verse to me. In fact, it was back at Floyd Road, Miss Carol. And at this particular time, I was reading these verses all the way to the rest of the chapter. And these were some of the first verses I memorized. And when I was reading this, I was trying, in my mind, while I was working, trying to convince God, or at least prove to the Lord, that what I'm going through is not covered under his umbrella, or at least he's not aware of it, because if he was, I wouldn't be going through it. And then he showed me that word, all. How can you argue with all? It covers everything. He says, so casting all, the word all means every, the whole thing, anything and everything that has you bogged down and bottled up, burdened, and listen, want to walk out on God and not go to church and, oh, the Christian life isn't for me. Listen, those are thoughts of the evil one. When the devil allows fear and doubt and all and torment. The thing that's connected with fear is torment. And so he says, casting all, every, whatever care you have tonight that has got you bogged down, bottled up, and about to burst, cast it on the Lord. I like the word casting here because we know that Peter was a fisherman. And so what better person to talk about casting than a fisherman? And so he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We know that in Bible days that most of the time they would do the fishing at night because of the heat. And there were at least three stages of dealing with the nets you had. You were to clean, wash your nets, mend your nets, and cast your nets. And so many times their nets would be prepared, and they would cast their nets. Then they would, when they come in for the evening, they would wash their nets, and then they would mend them if there was any torn places. But when Peter says casting, it's in reference to what he knows to do as a fisherman. And let me just go a step further and say this, that I have a little experience on cast nets myself. Back when we lived in Mississippi was when I learned how to throw my first cast net. It was a 4-foot net. In fact, one day I seen a man on what they called the seawall down in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And he had this net, and the net was, he had these little weights around it. He threw the net on his shoulder like that. He would spin around and kind of like this, and he would throw that thing. And it would, I mean, it would spread out like that, and it would, you know, cover a radius. And then he would allow it to drop and slowly reel it in and have some fish or, you know, a car tag or something like that. Spare tire. And then you do it again and again and again. And so finally I went and bought me a cast net. And I went out in the backyard where we used to live and had that net, trying to learn how to cast that thing, and wrapped up and knotted up. And I think I worked at that for days, weeks even. My brother, he already knew how to cast nets. So one day he came out there and he said, "You got to do it this way. And, you know, don't put so much pressure on the actual release. It's all about technique, and it's all about the complexity of it." And so I said, yeah, I understand all that. Just tell me how to do it. And so finally, I just went out there and wanted to learn. I was irritated because I couldn't do it, and I wanted to catch fish, so I just wound up the line, the rope, about an 8 to 10 foot rope, put some weights over my shoulder, the net, and grabbed it like so, and I just got me a good spin and threw that thing, and it wide open. I mean, it beautiful. It really was. Art. It was fulfilling doing that. In fact, me and Lily were at Walmart the other day looking at some things. I said, "Look at that cast net right there." I said, "Man, the prices have gone up." But you know, I learned how to throw that net. Then I went down to the seawall and down to the beach area. And to this day, I guarantee you, if I had a net, I could throw it. Because it was something that was learned. And Peter knew how to throw a net. And it as well was something that was learned. And so the Lord uses Peter to not talk about casting your fishing nets, but casting your faith nets, casting your release nets, or casting your problematic nets with the problems that you have. And so he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Okay, God wants to lift me up. God wants to alleviate the situation. God wants to change me. But I have to trust him. I have to humble myself, abase myself. Yes, Lord, whatever you're wanting to do, you're God, you're in control. I'm going to humble myself under your mighty hand, because I know that in due time, the skies will be blue again. And he says, follow through in verse number 7 with casting those cares in the meantime. In the same way he would throw that fishing net, he would have to totally, right at the release time, not to hang on to anything. Because one of the most important times for everything to go right with a cast net is at the time of release. If you were to hang on, I don't know, afraid you couldn't do it, whatever the case may be, if you were to hang on to anything, that net would just ball up. Peter says it's all about the release. He says that when it comes to casting a net, you've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. And I'm sure that Peter could tell us some stories about some fish he caught when he let it go. And I'm sure there's some folks here tonight that can tell us some stories about Jesus, that whenever you had enough of that burden, of that care, you got so sick and tired of worrying about it, you know you had the promises of God, and you in faith was able to totally cast that care. I'm pretty sure you can testify tonight at what was on the other side. How God gave you peace. How God sustained you. And the same difference as fishing as it is in the Christian life. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Another thing the devil likes to make us feel like, if we allow him to, is that we're the only ones going through anything. But he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then verse number 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. He says, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, sometimes it's the wrestle that strengthens us. Sometimes it's that it's the realization of, man, I can't do it. We have to arrive at that place before faith ignites us to do it. And listen, I don't want no storms. I know you don't want no storms, no setbacks or heartaches. But the truth of the matter is, God uses them to strengthen our faith, to get us to that place of whenever we are tired of hanging on to it, we would cast it totally. It's all about release, that we would let it go. And then in the meantime, on the other side, we're a little bit stronger because of it. We're walking a little bit taller. Got a little more confidence, don't we? Because we have suffered a while, but God has taught us how to cast some cares. I want to say tonight, maybe you need to cast some cares tonight. Maybe there's someone here that needs to just lay that burden down once and for all. It may try to come back tomorrow, but lay it down again tomorrow and deal with it the best you can, and that is by giving it to God. How to have a peaceful mind. Remember God's promises. Relocate our thoughts and rely on the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, for who you are and for what you do, we pray tonight that you would speak to hearts. Someone might be helped. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. Have a verse of invitation if you need to come and do some care casting. You come on down.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way.
Anybody? Come release it tonight.
Thou art the potter.
Let it go.
I am the clay.
You'll be a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser.
Mold me and make me after thy.
Continuing to sing while we have folks come. You come.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master.
Maybe you need to come and get saved tonight. Have that positional peace. That's where you
whiter
start.
Whiter than snow, wash me just now.
Take advantage, folks.
As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
I tell you what we're going to do. These are still praying, and we'll continue to play softly over here. But I will ask Brother Peter if you want to come. And while these are still praying, we're playing softly. Just give us your work, bro. Let us know what you do. We know what you do. You're a missionary to the Philippines, but you come on. Whatever's on your heart. Appreciate you, my friend.
Amen. Hi, oh my. Let me tell you. I got here just a few minutes before the church started, and Brother Kyle's here. He says, "Hi, friend." Me? Oh, my, that just touched my heart. And, brother, I want to personally thank you. I didn't know that you were praying for me for 2 solid years.
Yes.
Amen. Prayer works. I just give God the glory for that. I won't take too much of your time, because if I did, I'd be here all night. Let me share these thoughts with you. Our church, Gospel of Christ, Baptist Church, was started in Cebu in 2003. My wife, Nanita, and I started that church with 3 people who got saved and baptized. Our sending church is Temple Baptist Church. Let me see if I can get this way here. Oh, Temple Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We've been there now for over 17 years, and we're on a rental property. Please pray for us. We need $40,000 for down payment. On that rental property, we have a Bible Institute, a church, and we have a Christian school, and it is growing, and I just give God the glory for that. In the Philippines, we have about 106 million people in the Philippine area throughout the whole islands, mostly predominantly Catholic. I know about being a Catholic. I was one, and I give God the glory. He saved me. We have Mormons. We have Jehovah's Witnesses in Iglesia Ni Cristo. In English, that's Church of Christ. But it's not the Church of Christ here. It's a cult that teaches different things. We have other cults there also. And former President Ramos, who was a non-Catholic, instituted a program that opened up for people who... ministries, God-fearing ministries, and he was a Christian, as far as I understand, for public school ministries to reach the children, and through the children, we reach the parents as we go out on soul winning. I want to give you three incidents about soul winning, okay? And I got this from reliable sources. This little boy was invited to church, and I guess maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, and I guess he overreacted and yelled at that little boy. That little boy never came back to church. That little boy, how many here are 76 and older like me? That little boy was Al Capone. Let me give you another one. A dirty little boy with suit and stuff like that, wasn't even clean, come through the door, and some woman, I think it was, said to him, "You're too dirty to come back to church." Again, you older people. That little boy was John Dillinger. One more. This woman was so infuriated with her lifestyle and her 3 sons. She came to the pastor, and I think it was a Baptist preacher, and says, "We want to get right with God. We want to come to your church." The woman in the church said, "No, Pastor, she's nothing but trouble." Who was that woman? Bob Barker and her 3 sons. Some of you young people may not know, but folks, reaching people is God's heartburn.
Amen, brother.
And we need to reach all souls, as many as God brings our way. Let me continue in prayer here before I get too excited. Hang on a second. All right. There we go. Let me take a few more minutes here, and then I'll be moving on. I don't want to take past the time or your time. We have extension classes. My son Frank also has 5 schools, colleges that he reaches, and reaches these people for moral majority, for staying away from drugs, from not getting pregnant or getting involved with sex before marriage. A Bible college for high school graduates. Right now we have 8. We graduated a few before. We have 8 right now. Pray for them. Pray for our high school graduates. We also have a Bible Institute that we started about 2 years ago for married couples who are interested in coming in the ministry. And our Christian school was started about 5 years ago, as I said, with 8 students then, and with 8 students in our Christian school, and now over 40 and growing. Folks, we need that property. Pray for us that God will give us that property. And because of that, 5 families God gave us out of this ministry who got saved recently and got baptized. A deaf ministry. I'm not too good with my hearing. I got a hearing implant right now. I need one more time to get something adjusted. And I can well assure you that a deaf ministry is needed in all Bible-believing churches. Pray for our deaf ministry. And pray for us, again, that God will allow us to have this property. If not, he's got something for us, maybe better, maybe whatever, I don't know. But as Pastor preached, the peace of God which passes all understanding, he knows the problem before, during, and afterwards. I want to thank you, dear people, and I want to thank you, Pastor, for taking a moment and allowing me to present my gospel. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend I have here. Amen. Thank you all. Amen.
Appreciate that word tonight, Brother Peter, and you pray about that, and we will as well. And back at Pleasant Hill, we were over the missions, and Pleasant Hill supports you guys, and we got very familiar with all the missionaries, and so that's how we met you, although you didn't meet us yet. And if you gonna pray for this family, say amen tonight. Remember that. All right. Well, anybody have anything they need to mention before we close tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. 91 books on the Revelation. Brother Jack has put together Revelation Made Easy, I think. Something. Yeah, sign up sheet on my right, your left. And so they're going out like little ships in the sea. And we appreciate the Lord using that. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. And Brother Peter and Sister Anita, if y'all would, make your way to our foyer again. And shake our folks' hands on our way out. Everyone have a blessed evening and a safe week this week. Stay cool if you can. And I want to ask Brother Larry Bennett if he would close us out in a word of prayer.